The Constitution of the United States is predicated on the Declaration of Independence, and the Declaration of Independence says that our rights come from the Creator, and the first of those rights are the right to life. But abortion rights are at war with the right to life. And one of the great defenders of human life in our day is Jim Hardin, who is the CEO of Compass Care, a pro-life ministry. Lately, more than 50% of the abortions in America are conducted through the abortion pill. And recently, the Supreme Court ruled against a challenge to the abortion pill. But they did this, they said, because the plaintiffs lacked standing. That doesn't mean they might not perhaps revisit the issue sometime. Jim Hardin will now join us to discuss this. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And, Jim, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for taking some of your time to join us.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Sure. CompassCareCommunity.com is your website. And, why don't you explain, first of all, just to set the table for us, how these abortion pills work, and then we can get into the issue of what happened recently with the Supreme Court.
Sure. Well, the abortion pill was originally developed in Europe, and the kind of formula was purchased and by Danco Laboratories and brought over to the U.S. in 2000, approved by the Clinton administration's FDA for sale in America under strict kind of scrutiny, because it was so dangerous. It causes sepsis and hemorrhaging and undiagnosed ectopics, which can cause, you know, fallopian tube rupture and even death. So this is a very dangerous drug. It was on the FDA's REMS list, Risk Evaluation and Mitigation Strategy list. There's only 70 drugs that have ever been dangerous enough to make it on that list. And mifepristone, the chemical abortion drug, made it. Now, the Biden administration deregulated it almost absolutely. This was back in 2000. This was in January 2023. And so physicians in Texas and all across the country filed a lawsuit against the FDA saying, hey, this is dangerous to women. And that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court picked up the case, but they said, look, they didn't rule on the merits of the case. Now, as you described, more than half of all abortions in America are chemical abortion. And during oral arguments in March, Justices Thomas and Alito both asked questions about the Comstock Act. Now, why are we hearing this case now? Isn't chemical abortion illegal federally already? I mean, it's against the law to ship these drugs across state lines and U.S. borders, and yet why are we hearing this case about isn't it putting the cart before the horse? And so here we are, the Supreme Court made a ruling saying, you know, we're not hearing the case on the merits. The physicians don't have standing to file suit on behalf of injured women. Now, this is huge, by the way. This was not the Supreme Court, by the way, it was 9-0 unanimous decision. This was not the Supreme, this is the very same Supreme Court that overturned Roe versus Wade 2 years ago, almost to the day. They didn't just all of a sudden change their mind about abortion. They're sending a shot across the bow of the abortion industry saying, you can no longer, abortion industry, stand in for this imaginary woman as a third party. You've got to, you know, the people that are injured have a place in court, not the people that are talking about people who are injured. So for the last 50 years, abortionists and the abortion industry have been filing suits in court and winning based on the third party standing. They're, you know, standing in for women, this imaginary group of women. And so what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Well, you can't, if we're not going to allow abortionists to do that anymore, we can't allow pro-life physicians to do that either. So here, go back to the drawing board, find yourself some plaintiffs that have actually been injured and come back and we'll hear the case on the merits. They did not say that chemical abortion was going to be made and remain illegal, because the reality is chemical abortion, almost every instance of chemical abortion in America today, is a violation of the Comstock Act. Now, they did not actually rule on whether or not chemical abortion was legal or illegal. They just simply said, you can't bring this case because you're a third party.
What is the Comstock Act?
Well, the Comstock Act was originally passed in the 1800s after the Civil War, and it was modified in 1970 to, and then again, I believe in 1994, in each instance, they maintained the provisions that banned the shipment of abortion paraphernalia. That includes anything related to or intending to cause an abortion. You can't ship these drugs in the mail or any other conveyance across state lines. And so Merrick Garland, U.S. Attorney General, came out in January in 2023 saying he refused to enforce the Comstock Act. By the way, very illegal thing to do. You can't just, as an attorney general, choose which laws to enforce and which ones not to enforce, like some kind of legal box of chocolates. It is the job of the executive branch, under which Merrick Garland rests, to enforce all the laws duly enacted by the legislature. He's saying, I'm not going to enforce this Victorian era piece of legislation. Well, what about a mosaic era piece of legislation that talks about thou shalt not murder? What about protecting all people equally, from the womb to the tomb, from fertilization to natural death? We are endowed by our creator, as you said, with inalienable rights, the first of which, the most important of which, is the right to life. That is the right that presupposes all others. You can't exercise any of the rights unless you have the right to life. It's not the government's job to decide which humans qualify for protection under law and which ones do not. So there's the Comstock Act, and so what's interesting here is when Donald Trump, presidential hopeful, came out hedging, looked like he was hedging on his abortion position. He said, "I'm not going to vie for any particular federal restriction on abortion, whether it's 16 weeks or heartbeat or fetal pain or whatever." He was saying that we're gonna focus on letting the states restrict abortion, let the law enforce the law of the land, law of the states. Well, I think he's signaling, because when he was asked about the Comstock Act, he played coy. I think he's signaling that he's going to replace the attorney general with somebody who's willing to enforce the law equally and enforce the Comstock Act, which, by the way, if done, would sink the abortion ship almost overnight, because one violation of the Comstock Act, one shipment of one dose of these drugs across state lines, is a $250,000 violation with 10 years in jail. You multiply that over the course of 630,000 abortions in 1 year, times 5 years, because there's a statute of limitations, times racketeering, which is triple damages, you get $2.4 trillion in, say nothing about jail time, right? $2.4 trillion is a significant percentage of the national debt. That would totally disrupt the abortion industry globally.
Okay, wow, there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, you mentioned 600,000 abortions. Okay, you're talking in the American context. Would that mean 600,000 abortions in America, on average now, are these chemical-type abortions?
Correct, yes.
Wow.
The abortion industry...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the abortion industry relies heavily on chemical abortion, as you pointed out. And we estimate now that abortion has gone up 10% in 1 year after, this is a post-Dobbs America we're talking about. And now we're saying close to 630,000 abortions are chemical abortions in America every single year.
Now, the net effect of this decision from the Supreme Court is in favor of abortion advocates, I would think, because at least, I mean, they can continue as is. So that is kind of shocking to think that, okay, Samuel Alito voted for, as part of this, because he, 9-0. Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh. Was this basically so they wouldn't have the protesters at their house again? Or was it more, no, this lawsuit was filed in a way that just, wasn't proper. They lack standing.
I think that what you have going on right now is the Supreme Court resetting the boundaries of jurisprudence about who's got standing in court to file a complaint. The abortion industry has been abusing the court system along those lines for 50 years, and they're sending a signal. Sometimes you gotta lose a battle strategically in order to win the war. I would imagine that. Similar to C.S. Lewis's story in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the witch thought she won when she killed the lion, Aslan. Well, in fact, Aslan was working according to a deeper law. In the book, he called it a deeper magic. But similar thing, I think, is going on right now. It looks like a loss. It looks like they're backing away. But in reality, I think what they're doing is they're strengthening jurisprudence so that we can, as pro-lifers, come back again with a very strong case and not just win that one case, but actually topple the unjust abortion industry.
You said earlier that the pills are dangerous for women. Do you care to elaborate on that?
Yeah, the pills are extremely dangerous. The chemical abortion drug mifepristone is a progesterone blocker. Progesterone is the hormone a woman's body naturally makes to sustain gestation, progestational hormone. And so mifepristone blocks that, starves the baby, and then they come along with misoprostol, the second drug, which creates uterine contractions and expels the baby. Mifepristone causes hemorrhaging, sepsis, undiagnosed ectopic pregnancies, which can cause death. 1 in 17 women, a recent study came out, 1 in 17 women end up in the emergency room after starting the chemical abortion process. And yet a fraud is being perpetrated. They're saying, the abortion industry is saying, that this chemical abortion drug is safer than Tylenol. But I don't know how many, I'm pretty sure that 1 in 17 people who take Tylenol do not end up in the emergency room after taking this drug. So it's very dangerous. And so I think the Fifth Circuit, when they made the initial ruling about this chemical abortion, said, you know, look, the FDA needs to take this off the, I'm sorry, it was the Northern District, U.S. District of Texas out of Amarillo, said the FDA needs to take this drug off the market. It is just that dangerous. And so the Fifth Circuit, partially agreed, and then the Supreme Court stayed all lower rulings so they could hear it. And here we are now saying, everybody's, everybody's gone off the rails. The jurisprudence here says you got to have proper standing to file these kinds of cases. Let that be a lesson to your abortion industry. Let that be a lesson to your pro-life movement. Let's play by the rules here, because when you play by the rules, there's no way the abortion industry wins. You know, a true rule of law cannot countenance this level of systemic injustice.
Wow, that's amazing. When you mentioned the 1 in 17 women end up in the emergency room because of these abortion pills experience, then some of those women that are damaged, they're the ones that need to bring the next lawsuit against this myth.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. And that, you know, so I wrote an article, I don't know if Newsmax published it or not, but I gave them examples of who they could actually use as plaintiffs. We can talk about women who have been harmed. There's a case down in Queens in New York City where, a parent could actually file suit against the pharmaceutical companies, the abortion industry, because their daughter was harmed through a second dose of mifepristone. She went to the hospital. She was sick, sore, and lame for weeks. And of course, the baby had major problems too. So there's so many different places, including, not to mention the sex trafficking industry uses chemical abortion to keep their so-called product on the street. It's an awful, very unjust scenario. So if we can, simply find these women, and they're everywhere, by the way. Women are being injured all the time, and because of the nature of abortion, they're shamed and they don't want to talk about it. But we've got to start helping women, understand that the abortion industry and politicians, pro-abortion politicians, are sacrificing women's reproductive health on the altar of political power, and it needs to stop.
Okay, we have about 1 minute left. Anything else you want to say? And that Tylenol remark is astounding.
Oh, it really is. And by the way, the pro-abortion politicians like Letitia James, New York Attorney General, are using this chemical abortion as a way to drum up voting, their voting base. And so we're being sued. Pro-life people are being sued. Because we're telling women the truth, that they can actually reverse the effects of this dangerous chemical abortion drug if we can catch it early enough so that she can go on and have a healthy baby.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, we have enough time to give your website again. It is compasscarecommunity.com. Thank you so much, Jim, for all you do. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Oh, thank you. God bless.